Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast post-game show with your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, hidey-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 313. That's 313, you and me. This is the official
313 Detroit area code podcast.
On the 13th of December. What more could you want? This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. We're doing it live. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend, one of my very, very best friends, Andy, also known as Sandman. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
Oh, good.
Good. I feel like better than I thought I was going
to
be.
I feel like this is a good enough game to get some soul lights. I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but there's some good plays in there. There's some good stuff to look at.
I'll do a Marvin sketch 20 times.
Yeah, there you
Extra
go.
Extra slow. Zoom in on the toes. I've got technology the NFL doesn't, apparently.
Yeah, evidently. Today's show, we're going to talk about the game, of course. We're going to have a little roundtable discussion, and we'll take your calls. We got a lot going on. Got a great show lined up. Sandman, you ready to go, brother?
Let's do it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements. First, check us out and help us out on the old Patreon. It's a very special thanks to Dylan from where else but...
Guam!
There you go. Very, of course, our very first owner, Mathis, Brian B. from I Prevail, iprevailband.com. Don't forget about Mr. Burkheiser. All those folks and many, many more, the Riz, Andy, me, Case, all the cool kids, really, hang out in our massively cool Slack chat. The most intelligent Lions chat in the internet, the most intelligent beer chat in the internet, the most intelligent gambling chat in the internet. You got it all. There's so much more. It's all there. You just go to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. If you donate as little as a dollar, but you can donate more. Don't be shy. You'll get access to that Slack chat, and it's worth it. I hear it continuously from everybody. The return on that investment is one of the best Lions investments they've made so far. Great place to hang out. So go on over there and you support the show. Help us do what we do. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Check us out on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see Andrew
with no pants on.
That's right. I mean, you could see him that way other ways, but you guys get a little closer. Subscribe on YouTube.
More than a dollar.
Subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, and youtube.com/DLP Clips. Detroit Lions Podcast is where the big show happens. That's where you're seeing us right now. So check that out. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Pandora, Spotify, Amazon, all those things. Give us those 5 stars. We love those 5 stars. Thank you, everyone who has done that and is doing that. That means a lot. Remember, those are forever. So if you want to have some fun in the reviews, you can. I read them. I laugh at some of them. You guys are some really creative mofos. You get some good stuff out there. But if you don't feel like giving us 5 stars, let us know. Hit us in the subreddit and let us know why. And we'll see if we can talk you down and figure out how to get you to that 5-star magic. All right. We're going to open up the phones in about 2 minutes. It's 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384. Let's get this thing going.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And I don't know if you guys realize, but there was a football game this evening. You may have missed it because you're used to watching it 1 o'clock, but you didn't miss it, did you, Andy?
I'm normally napping, but I stayed awake for it today.
It's an alcohol-induced afternoon nap. Nope, no alcohol needed.
I sleep the pain away.
Yeah,
the 1 o'clock games.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'll just really quick, this game, this was not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. I mean, and all this going on, I'll just say, the Lions have a little more to work with than what I thought they did. They're not a complete dumpster fire on this roster as maybe we thought and saw before. But the coaching that we had for so long was indeed a complete and utter dumpster fire. Holy cow. I saw it go by in the Slack early in the game after the RORA miss on Davante Adams. It was, what'd they say? For a coach who stressed doing the fundamentals all the time, this team sure stinks at fundamentals. That was just a terrible play. It was horrible. But let's see. We've got a lot of stuff going on in the chat. Let's see. Packers aren't good. Okay.
No, I mean, they've won 10 games so far.
They may be tied as the best in the NFC because the Saints lost today. So
Yep.
That could be.
That means they lead because they beat the Saints earlier this year.
Yeah. I think, man, I don't feel like giving the commentators 5 stars. That reminds me, don't subscribe to our channel. Don't subscribe to this channel. We want to keep an exclusive club. Okay. So don't subscribe. Yeah, no, the we always get the commentators, the announcers that we get because we're the Lions. Until we until we earn it, we're not going to get better ones. We're lucky to have Dan in the radio booth, and I always try to tell people whenever you can, try to sync up the TV and the radio and roll with it that way. What do you think, Andy? What's your response to what you saw out there in the field today? Is it utter and total disgust?
We are who we thought we were. No, this defense is bad. We knew the defense was bad. I think really what this game showed me, last game and this game, showed me that, you know, we did the biggest part. We got rid of the cancer. We had it removed, but we're still going to deal with the after effects and, you know, some of the lingering symptoms of said cancer. And we're seeing that with the way that the defense is built and how that's going to transfer to any coach. You know, we got to see, you know, our defense do some stuff that they never would have done under Patricia today. We saw a lot of single high safety. They dared the Packers to throw it deep, and they didn't. They took 9 minutes off the clock every single time they touched the ball, except for that one time where Owarie made a weird fundamental decision. But, you know, I think this team is who we thought they were for the most part, but it's good to see the fire come back out.
Yeah.
For Daryl Bevel. You know, we saw the offense do their best today. Obviously, Stafford got hurt. You know, and you're never going to score every single time you get the football. And when you play against the Packers and they take this much time off the clock and you only get to touch the ball 6 times total, I think, you know, that's rough. That's really rough. And to, you know, get within distance on a game like this kind of shows that the team is still trying to play and still trying to win.
Yeah. Packers coach Matt LaFleur in the chat with the super chat. Thank you, Matt, very much. I feel like a chorus of farts would have been better than those commentators. You really should have been practicing or paying attention to coaching that game, but evidently you could take the day off against the Lions. I don't know. No, they were bad. They were absolutely bad. And it's what we wind up with. I'm not as frustrated with that. The whole thing, I'll tell you where one thing would have really hurt. If Killebrew would have gotten that, this is a whole series of impossible events. Killebrew gets ruled as inbounds. I do think that 1 foot might have been out. That his first foot, the second one was in, but I think the first one might have been out on the line.
And the football may have even touched out of bounds. They didn't really talk about that on the replay, but it looked close. Like the football may have, its last bounce may have touched the edge.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of those things that who gets onside kicks? You know, I think we can be excited that we got that close, that, you know, Braden had a plan that was good enough to get us that close. That 1 foot step one way, one, you know, who knows?
And then,
but special teams is always fantastic.
So let's just say you succeed there. Then you put Chase Daniel on the field and he gets you down and gets you the 7. You tie up. Somehow you went right. Okay. A series of impossibilities, right? Next week, Matthew Stafford's out. Right? How heartbreaking would that be to be right, like, truly in the hunt? And the guy that you need to play these games and win these games against teams like Tennessee and Tampa Bay is out hurt. I'm worried that he might be out for a long time. That was the most frustrating play to me because he had initiated the slide. He had just gotten into the slide and they were allowed to accordion him without any kind of call on that. And that's a little frustrating to me.
You know, and that's one of those things where a bunch of people on Twitter were talking about how if we hit Rodgers like that, that's a 15-yard penalty or half the distance to the goal in that situation all day, every day.
Ejection, fines, murder threats.
Massive fines. Yeah, I mean, he dove at him from behind knowing he was going to slide. NFL players know better than that, but, you know, you take your hit on the quarterback when you can. It's just unfortunate that, you know, Stafford probably has a couple broken ribs. Just the way he was bent. Ribs aren't, you know, I'm sure that they all popped off and are free floating around in his tummy right now.
Doing God knows what. You don't need them. When you're throwing a football, it's all arm. It's all arm. There's no other.
When you're Stafford, yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Just do it like out the side. Do it out the side door, buddy. You'll be good to go. We saw you score a touchdown with your shoulder out of the socket. Come on. We can at least play with a little rib injury.
Yeah. You know, but that was just one call of many that were real weird in this game. And I hate blaming refs for wins and losses. Sometimes it's warranted. Most of the time it's not. Mm-hmm. But boy, oh boy, they were all over the place today. They're
all wrong. Right, I mean, you figure you flip a coin 100 times, you're going to wind up 51-49, 50-50 with heads tails, right? We flipped it every time; it came up, you know, tails, over and over and over, and it's just like, huh, that was tough. And you're right, hey, I hope I got that right. I'm sorry. If that was ruled a catch, Stafford wouldn't have been hurt because we wouldn't have been in that position. You're absolutely right, and it's extremely frustrating, but.
There's a couple times this game, you know, the Marvin Jones catch. That's really crazy to me. I would love to. I hope the NFL comes out and says something about that because it's very clearly a catch.
Yeah.
It's not even that close. They have a good angle on it. You can see his feet hit the ground. What they called is crazy to me. And also on the third down play that led to the field goal, the 58-yard field goal, Rodgers threw it out of bounds from the pocket with no wide receivers in the area. Should have been intentional grounding, should have been a 15-yard loss. Didn't call it.
Yeah.
You know, gave him a 58-yarder, and that's, you know, we were down there to score. You know, if we
it's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different ball game. We lost by 7. That would have been 7 right there and a lot more time on the clock. Back at you in Vegas there, Abe. Much love to you. Stay safe. Stay cool.
But the line's covered. So
yeah. No, they absolutely did. and they hit the under too, which I didn't expect. I expected this to be an over game. The Lions did. They got more than 1-3 and out, and that's what I thought they'd need in this game is to minimize that to it. Only 1-3 and out on offense, and they'd have a chance because I knew it was going to be score. I didn't know the drives. It was going to be a ball control kind of drive over and over and over. But we needed one more drive put together, just one more, man, and we could have done that. That's really something. But by the same token, Aaron Rodgers gets riled up. If you think we're comeback machines, you put Aaron Rodgers in a position like that and watch him throw because he will, right? He's one heck of a quarterback. So oh well. All right, I missed a call. Let's got the phone lines open at 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384 if you want to ring us up. Or you can also use Skype if that's your preferred calling method. That's Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word. That's who we are, Detroit Lions Podcast. You can do that and give us a ring, and we'll get you on the air. Got a caller right here. Hey, caller, what's your name and how much have you had to drink?
Hey, what's up, guys? This is D from Battle Creek.
Hey, how you doing? Hey.
Good, I'm good. It's been a few weeks.
Yeah. What you been up to?
Nothing much, man. I've been working my butt off 6 days a week lately, so I've been kind of watching the game and the show at work every week.
I'm with you. Yeah. I was working today I'm working from home, but I was working 9 till the end of the Tampa game. I ran down to watch the Lions. Ooh. It was like, man, I got one more week, though. And then I get some time off, and I'm going to be exhausted when it comes. Good for you, brother. So what do you got? What'd you see today?
Man, I don't know, but I'm really not upset about the loss. I mean, at this point, I'm glad we played a good game. I mean, it was a good game to me, I thought. I mean, it had its ups and downs, but I think that in the two games that I've seen Bevel as a head coach that I just think he's a much better coach than Patricia. And if we had had him from the start, I think things would look a lot different right now. That guy is a pretty good coach.
You know, you're serving me up a plate of crow inadvertently, and I'm going to eat it right now.
Eat it.
I mean,
I was like, I don't think firing the coach earlier is going to help. And here we are actually in a playoff hunt up until today. And just so you guys know, I think we're done now. But here we were actually in the hunt today. And that Indianapolis game, I think we could have won with this coaching. I think that Houston game, we could have won with this coaching. And that puts us in not just in the hunt, but in the wild card spot because we beat Arizona. I mean, we would be sitting there. So Num, num, num. there's my crow. I was wrong.
It's amazing to see what a coach that the players like can do. When the players are happy, when they're excited to come practice, when they're excited to come to work, when work isn't a tedious thing, you know, it makes a huge difference. And, you know, I'm not saying that Bevel is game planning perfectly or has awesome anything at this point, but it shows what just a normal coach can do with a team of guys and how big of a detriment Matt Patricia really was. I think, you know, on a scale of one to 100, 100 being a Super Bowl winning team, Matt Patricia is a negative 15, negative 20 on your team just having him there. You know, it sure seems like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel bad that I said this probably a month or so ago. I told you guys, like, I wouldn't even want Bevel to take over because he wasn't doing very good at the coordinator position. But I think Patricia was holding that guy back to doing what he wanted him to do.
Yeah. Oh, I got someone else to saddle up to the plate of crow with me. That's great. I picked the right guy.
But no, his in-game decisions, man, his aggressiveness, I just love it, man. It's refreshing.
Yep. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Not going into the half with timeouts.
Hey, you're saving those for the second half. Mm-hmm. You know how many we've got in the bank now, buddy? Ooh, we're gonna be making withdrawals any day now. Oh man! All right, hey brother.
Well, I gotta get back in here to work, man.
Yep, we're gonna get rocking too. All right, thanks, man. Be good,
later, man.
All right.
All right, D. Sure. Thanks, man.
Have a good night.
You too. All right. Let's see. We got another caller here. Let's see if the thing worked. It didn't grab it. All right, call back. I really want to quick. There's a lot of talk of it in the chat. I just want to see how does everybody else feel. We got the referees going on. We got Dean Blandino. We've got the background there for Sandman. Blandino said that was a catch. There you go, right there. And yet, what happens? They rule it as not a catch. And this wasn't even in Green Bay. They brought Green Bay's refs to Ford Field. Maybe they thought they could get away with it because no one was there to see. They didn't feel the danger of an angry crowd. I can't explain it, man. But that there is just something, some aliens. There's something causing a problem with Green Bay, Detroit, and the referees. I don't know what it is. This is absolutely nuts.
Yeah. All right. I mean, it's every game, but it's, you know, it feels worse than it is probably, but that's what happens when you're a Lions fan.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Caller, what's your name? How much are you drinking so far?
This is John down in North Carolina, and I'm trying to not drink because I'm trying to undo all the COVID liver damage that I've suffered this year.
Oh,
normally,
man.
I'm pretty drunk when I call in, so this is a new experience.
And it's later. I mean, this is like drunk 30 right now. That's what I figured. We'd get a lot of people that had like the first game. They got a little bit of pregame going on, and then here we were, right at 8 o'clock at night on Sunday. So, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd probably be incapacitated to call in normally.
It was a good game, though. It was a good game to watch, right? I mean,
I don't have any complaints. Well, I mean, I wanted to win really bad, but I don't have any actual complaints. And for serving up crow for damn Chris, I did point out that I wanted to call you out for all your Quinn can't draft episode you did, because honestly, my reaction was more like, maybe it's just Patricia can't coach. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, everybody said there was such a talent discrepancy between us and Green Bay. Plus we're super injured, and here it was a close game. So how many of these guys are actually bad picks versus how actually bad of a coach was Patricia in using guys wrong and not developing them, right?
Yeah. I mean, look at Tanya and how he's knocking it out of the park as a tight end, and that former Detroit Lion. Oh.
You know, it's
so
go ahead, Carr.
I was just going to say, so, you know, I mean, yeah, I do think that we don't have all the talent in the world, and you definitely can see what the coaching change, what a difference it makes. But also, maybe we aren't as untalented as we thought. Maybe it's just these guys have been so poorly coached for a couple years that a new coach can come in and work a little more, have a little more to work with than we previously thought Bob Quinn gave us, I guess is my point, right? Does that make sense?
Well, you know, I think...
Outside a linebacker.
Yeah. I think really what it comes down to is there's a reason they were both fired at the same time. And that's because Quinn and Patricia were married at the hip once they started making these crazy draft choices like Tavai. And, you know, Hockenson's been really good this year, but like there's an argument to be made that one of the last things this team needs is a tight end like that.
He's a number one receiver still.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those things. But
maybe we need a receiver. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And I think, you know, like bringing in guys that Patricia wanted on defense, slow linebackers, slower safeties, you know, former Patriot guys over potentially other guys that maybe would work better in a more standard defense. I think that there's going to be a harder turnaround than we hope for, but it's probably not going to be as bad as we thought it was. You know, we still have a little bit of talent, but it's hard to see right now. We're going to have to see what the coach actually does.
Yeah, I remember, I think the last time I called and I yelled at you to drink some Kool-Aid, and I mean micro there, because damn, Sam, if you weren't right about everything and I was wrong. But again, let's be honest, if Patricia had worked out, that would have been the better situation. It was a shame that he didn't, because now we're, you know, having to tear down and build up again. And I agree that Quinn had to go with Patricia. Like they got, you know, that was his pick, and that's gonna, the anchor was like, sunk him. I just was kind of saying that, you know, we can go through all of Quinn's picks and be like, this guy's a, you know, bust, but maybe they're not so much bust is that the coaching is just that bad and everyone looks bad when you play for a coach you hate, and you get a new coach in next year. Some of these guys that maybe weren't looking so hot all of a sudden are actual NFL players, and we aren't rebuilding for 3 years. We are, you know, we're able to come back swinging earlier, I guess, is hopefully the silver lining I'm looking for.
We'll see, because this draft is going to be rough, because we only have 6 picks. And 6 picks.
And people are talking, we need a quarterback on top of that. You can't really quarterback with 6 picks.
Nope.
And also build a team, you know?
Yeah. I don't
think. All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah, well, hey. That's my feedback from the Quinn Can't Draft episode, which, I mean, I'm not absolving Quinn by any means. You know, he had to go, I agree. But I'm hoping that maybe it's not as sad as it looked, and we come out with a little light of the tunnel when we get some competent coaching going. So,
I think you had some hits. Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take care. Yeah.
I think you had some hits along the way. I just still think he had more busts than he had hits. And if we're talking about guys that are playing and still playing, he had like that 33% hit rate. That's just not good enough. That's not good enough at all. You can't do that. So it is what it is. All right, we got a caller. Caller, what's your name and how much have you had to drink?
Hey, it's Jeff here, and I'm actually in the military down here in Alabama, celebrating my Army Black Knights beating Navy. So I haven't had anything to drink. I gotta be up tomorrow or early tomorrow.
Oh man. So what you got? What'd you see? How'd that game hit you?
Well, the game, I mean, I really, like Sandman said, I really hate being the guy that complains about the refs. I mean, we all know how rough the officiating is whenever the Lions play the Packers. But my thoughts went more towards the future, kind of like in the last call. So another solid game for Bevel at head coaching. And, you know, save for a few, like that defensive holding call on Oriaria, or however you say his last name, that went that extended the drive that put the Packers up 21-14 that we still haven't seen any footage of that call, by the way. I haven't seen any, at least. You know, if that call isn't made, then that the whole game has changed. And, you know, we've went deep enough into that. But in terms of the full rebuild, I don't think we need a full tear it down rebuild. I really don't. And I'll tell you why. You know, younger people forget. You guys mentioned this last week, but younger people tend to forget what it's like to not have a QB.
Yeah.
From 2000 to 2008, we had people like Charlie Batch, Joey Harrington, Jeff Garcia. You know, those are all guys that I remember playing as quarterback and watching Stafford play, you know, night and day. But on offense, I mean, we had key pieces to succeed. You know, if we retain them, I'd really like Stafford, Galladay, and Marvin Jones, which I think we should bring all of them back on some type. Well, I think we should keep Stafford and bring back Galladay and Jones. But then all under contract, we have Swift, Decker, Ragnow, Hockenson, Jackson on the line. I think Agnew is a really dangerous weapon. In two games, Matt Nelson has looked really good at right tackle, save for the sack he gave up and the holding that he gave up at the end there.
Yeah. With a training camp and like practice, he actually might be really good right tackle.
I think if he continues to develop, I think we may have the right tackle of the future, which really means we only need to go find a guard, and we might have that in Crosby anyway if we can just move him over.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, we all know the defense is trash. I mean, we all know what's going to happen there. But here's where I'll kind of flip the switch. If we keep the offense intact, and this year we draft a quarterback like Zach Wilson out of BYU, who I really like, and we keep Stafford. So we learn under Stafford and learns this offense for a year, and we keep Bevel, which I think is where we're leaning towards. We keep all that intact, and all of a sudden, you've got a really good system that's staying intact over a course of a year or two. Meanwhile, we're using that offense that maybe could potentially put up 30 to 40 a game. We use that to maybe try and cover for the defense while we fix the defense. That's kind of where I'm going with it.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. And I'll tell you, there's something it just started rattling around my mind today. And I know these numbers, and I just, they didn't hit me like they did today. Sometimes, you have this kind of revelation situation. And Mr. Raru, I'm going to get to you in a second, man. I just want to say thanks before I do. But when they said Aaron Rodgers is 37, right? I was like, that's 5 years older than Matthew Stafford. He's got a full rebuild and maybe two in him still. Because Aaron is playing quarterback for what right now is either the best or tied for the best team in the NFC. And he's looking great. There's nothing to say Matthew Stafford can't do that. I mean, I think the one thing to say Matthew Stafford can't do that is Kelly Stafford. But I think if he can get past that hurdle, I think he'll be all set.
I agree. And That actually leads me to another point I had during the games. I can't wait for Rodgers to retire. I really can't.
Oh, I'm so sick. You're not alone. You're not alone. I agree that this team doesn't need a full overhaul on the offense. I'm just really nervous about what kind of defensive overhaul we're going to have. Because we can see a guy like John Pennacini looking good today and looking good all season.
Yep.
But he's like a true nose tackle. And if we go to a attacking front like Robert Saleh would bring here, does he really have a place on this team? And now we're pushing a guy that's decent to good out the door just because he doesn't fit. And I feel like we're going to have a bunch of guys like that just plain old don't fit. And we're going to have a year or two of journeyman guys because we don't have the capital to really build this roster fast enough for like a full rebuild. Mm-hmm. But it'll be interesting to see if we can even get an average defense. Games like this are winnable with an average defense.
Yeah,
almost all the games that we lost this year are winnable with an average defense.
And I'm going to tell you, one of the things I think that's going to be the most important period of time for the Lions this year is free agency, because we've got a lot of room to play around in the cap. And while these guys are expensive, they very well could become a bridge till we get our draft picks back and start putting the young talent in place. If we're paying those guys and getting our talent from the draft, we may be in a decent spot to make key acquisitions and key upgrades along the way to make this rebuild happen relatively quickly. Because going back to the point we made earlier, this was a fun game to watch. This was fun football, and they very well could have won that game, right? We can talk about some bad calls. We can talk about things going one way or the other, but this is a game the Lions actually could have won today. And with a couple of key pieces, all of a sudden, I don't know, man, maybe that rebuild starts a little sooner. It's a little quicker, and it's not quite as much of a dumpster fire as we thought it was going to be. We're not going to have a high draft pick next year. And I don't think we're going to wind up with a high draft pick unless things really, really go bad. And that's, this GM and this coach pick are going to be huge. They're going to be massive.
I've been on for a little minute here, so I'll kind of close with this is, it really makes the decision the way Bevel has coached these last two games. If he continues to keep the team looking like this, it's going to make that decision and really, really difficult for Sheila and Rod, which is already really I think his name's Disker. I think correct me if I'm wrong, but I know he's involved in the process. But like I said, if Bevel keeps coaching like this, the decision to be made by Sheila and Rod is already in is already as paramount as it is, has gotten that much harder. Do you really want to bring in a new guy who's kind of unproven in Robert Saleh or, you know, Brian Daboll or whoever they choose to bring in? Or do you want to keep somebody who's just coached five games and had the team looking really good if they continue to look good? You know, it's a really, really important decision. But hey, I appreciate you guys for taking the call and everything. And, you know, we'll see what happens going down the road.
All right. Thanks for the call, bro. Yeah,
you know, I think hiring a coach is like hiring anything else. I think it was Apple or Microsoft did a huge research study that showed that barring your position being super, super condensed, hiring anybody is a crapshoot. Doesn't matter what it is. Hiring a CEO is crapshoot. Hiring a cart guy is a crapshoot. You just, you know, they can have a fantastic interview and, you know, crap the bed. And it's luck of the draw sometimes.
I'll tell you, hiring me is not a crapshoot. Just hint out there. You can see that I work very hard. Okay, couple of things. I have to hit
too expensive.
Well, that's the hard part. Mr. Rarutu, I want to thank you very much for that super chat. Despite he nails it. Despite the loss, this game was fun to watch. I'm happy it was even watchable, even a watchable game, and against the NFC's best team. I'll proudly be able to wear my Lions gear this week for sure, for 100%. They did a great job, and it was commendable against such a tough team to lose only by a touchdown and really, really be in it till the end there. That's great. Chase Daniel doesn't play. You know, Matthew Stafford doesn't get hurt. It's a 3-point game, right? It's just a 3-point game. So that's, yeah, great points, Mr. Raru. Also got to say hey to Joe B. Keep Bevel, please, for the love of God. He'll leave if we don't make him the head coach. And that's possible, but
that's possible.
We have to see what the bigger plan is. I like Bevel. I like what he's doing, and I like how he has the team. But we just have to see how everything else plays out and comes together. Hey, Scott, how you doing? I know your name because I saw it on the thing. How much have you had to drink today?
Today was good enough that I wasn't drinking. Okay. Usually with the Lions, you start drinking because the game's so bad. But actually, today wasn't bad. The question I have for you guys that you haven't really gone into is, what if Bevel, well, he's probably going to do well for the rest of the season because the team wants to play for him. Mm-hmm. What if they hire him before they hire the GM? And then you go and you say to a GM, by the way, we've hired your coach and you can't get rid of the quarterback. Yeah, who the hell is going to come here and be the GM?
It's a problem.
It can be. I wish I knew where I saw this. And if you guys know in the chat, I mentioned it one other time. Someone very smart and respectable, and I don't remember who, had an article, and they said, you know, I don't get it when the GM wants to have their guy. If you've got a good guy in place, that's what you want. You want a good guy or gal. Just to say you want your guy is a tough move. It's a real opportunity. Like we saw it with Bob Quinn. He got his guy. And guess what? Mm-hmm. His guy sucked. His guy screwed the team up. His guy wasn't what this team needed and put this team in a really, really bad spot. You do limit what you get when you don't give a GM freedom to pick a coach and a quarterback in the beginning. But if they also understand that they're there to enforce that coach and that quarterback's success, if they don't succeed, then it's time to move on. That's on that GM, and that GM gets to make that decision. If they feel like they have the decision, in some ways, it's kind of nice to walk into a package that's working, right? And you can and to also be able to say, well, I didn't pick this. And you know, however many years they're here, that's that many extra years you've got on your contract that you'll keep working after they're gone. And you hire your guy, right? So in a weird kind of converse way, there may be a benefit. And it just takes the right kind of GM with the right kind of mindset to be able to step into that role and be successful. Sam, man, you can tell me I'm nuts. You wouldn't be the first.
I mean, it would be the exact same scenario that we had when we hired Bob Quinn, like to a T. We had Caldwell already. He was coming off of a good year. Hired Quinn. Quinn really couldn't do anything with that. And, you know, I think there's something to be said about GMs hiring coaches. I also think that there's good GMs that do a really good job personnel-wise that do a horrible job hiring coaches. Who was the Browns GM that basically built the team that they have now and then got fired because he hired Freddie Kitchens? You know, there's stuff like that, right? Yeah, like he built the team fine, but the guy he hired to do stuff with his team was awful. And like I said during the last call, I think hiring anybody is kind of a crapshoot. I would prefer to have a GM in place that would at least have some input on the coach. Maybe he's not the sole person making the hire like Quinn seemingly had with Patricia. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I would like to have a little bit of input by the GM. That way we don't have, you know, backstage drama causing more problems than the Lions already have.
Yeah, no. And you know, one other thing about keeping Bevel, and I'm not saying we should. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we shouldn't either. I'm just kind of, we're in this spot where we're evaluating. When you hire someone and you know it's a crapshoot, when you have someone in hand who's already in your organization and you know how they work and how successful they'll be, they've shown success, you have a better chance of finding success with that person than hiring somebody off the street. So that may very well give Daryl Bevel a leg up on this. We'll just keep an eye. We'll just keep an eye on it, and we'll see how things play out. There's a lot still to talk about with this and a lot still to play itself out. But the way this team played against the Green Bay Packers, I think is a definite. I think Daryl Bevel has two positives in his belt, notches in his belt or whatever on his resume after these two games. Because this game, it was a good game, and they were in it throughout. To the very, very end. So,
yeah. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, going back to Mr. Raru's comment. This team is coming back in a way that I wasn't sure that it was ever going to come back. When we talked about how Patricia touched me in my fandom and hurt me in my no-no place. You know, games like this bring back hope, right? Because even in losses, the Lions look fun. The Lions seem to be having players that are playing hard. We can't say that that happened under Patricia. And while I agree with other people that say there's no such thing as a moral victory, wins, 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 at some point we need to realize that this team isn't that good still. And that if we can watch football and have fun while watching football, we should be okay with that until the team gets good, even if it takes 65 years.
My biggest problem with this looking fun already this year is that you are now going to be on board for season tickets next year, and I'm not going to have you as a post-game co-host. We're going to have to figure out a way to get you like a headset and a like they do with the what are those called? Those GoPros with a little stick sticking out of your chest showing your face as you're walking around.
I'll do the live on-field analysis. I'll just hop the gate.
There you go. All right. Hey, Scott, thanks a lot, man. Got a bunch of calls banging in. We're gonna get rolling, but thanks for the call, man.
I always get cut off.
I'm sorry. We'll give you a little extra next time, okay? Oh, man, he hung up on me. All right. Kevin, thank you so much for the super chat. Hire people who work well with others. Damn it. And I agree 100%. That's like the key tenet.
Thank you so much for the super chat. Hire people who work with others. Damn it.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. I agree 100%.
Hey, caller, what's your name? And do you mind if you just turn down the volume in the background?
Yep. I just walked away. Sorry about that.
No problem, brother. How you doing? And what's your name? How much you had to drink?
Good. My name's Killian. Maybe half a bottle of Jack in. I don't know.
Oh. All right. All right.
Man,
I'm feeling good. Yeah. Listen, okay. So here's my thing about Matt Patricia. He was just such an arrogant jerk to keep it family friendly.
Thank you.
Like, he was just so arrogant. I don't think any Detroit team will ever, like, in any sport play well under that kind of thing. So, like, when he left, I was so happy about it. And I think that's just, I mean, I don't have a lot of football knowledge. I'm a fan. I like watching the team, but I think just the difference in seeing a coach that's not arrogant and just like can rally the team and make it happen, it just makes me happy to see.
The high point of Matt Patricia's career was the fastball that made it halfway from the mound to the plate of the challenge flag. That I loved that passion and like that he couldn't quite do it. And I mean, the whole thing together, it was both comedic and fun, and you could cheer for it, but it was all down the mountain. Like, it was a steep slope down from there.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. That's what I got to say. I don't have much else, so I'll jump off. But yeah, it's just been fun to watch the past couple of days. Just like listening to you guys say, like, even when they lose, it's fun to watch. I think for me, it's fun right now just because it's like, we don't got this arrogant jerk like leading the charge. We've got a team that likes to come together. Just as a Detroit boy, where like growing up, my favorite team was the Pistons in 2008, 2009 when they won all that stuff.
Yep.
Like, it's just been awesome. So thanks, fellas.
Yeah.
Like, listen.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate the call. We met the nicest people doing this. Go ahead. Sorry.
We do. No. I think, you know, coaches like that can work in the NFL, but you have to win.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick is kind of an arrogant asshole. He has moments behind the scenes where players say, like, oh, that's when I turn, you know, my thought around on, you know, Bill Belichick. But he's a jerk, you know, and he expects a lot out of his players at all times. And he'll bench people, and he would rail on Tom Brady, you know, during team meetings. But he won, and his teams respected him for that. When you don't have respect and you're also a hard ass and you're hard to work for, you know, you're a one-man show with nobody backing you. You know, it's literally impossible. And we're seeing finally what a team looks like when they are out from underneath a rock like that.
And this is the paradox of Matt Patricia, because we met him and he was a great guy. He was really nice. Right. We talked about it this last Senior Bowl when they were there. He had turned it around. He was doing good. He was funny. He was engaging. He was all those things. And it's like, where does that switch flip? And the other part of it is he did it with, you know, him and Rothstein have their things, and I'll leave that one lie for now. But the whole thing with him and the players, I just don't understand why you do that. And I think the biggest part of Matt Patricia, besides he's a jerk, he's whatever, I think the key piece is that he was inauthentic. He wasn't himself. And he was trying to be something. He was a little bit of the imposter thing going on. And because of that, he didn't have, as you said, the respect. No one believed what he was. He was trying to please too many people instead of just being himself. And he thought that tough guy thing was part of what you had to do because he'd worked so long with Belichick. And that's what he thought he had to do and how he had to act and be. And I think that's where it was, because like, you know, Sam, man, he was a great guy when we talked to him. He's a really, really nice, generous kind of fella.
Yeah. I think even outside of just him being a jerk, you know, things started coming out now that Bevel's our head coach about not having fun, not running one-on-one, you know, drills, keeping everything boring, you know, that all adds up, man. You know, if you go to work in a cubicle in a building with no windows and dim lights, you know, you don't want to be there too long.
That's what it's like here, man. My boss is the guy looking at me all the time here. Hey, caller, what's your name? How much you had to drink?
It's Joe B, and I've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11.
11.
How are we doing today?
What do you got for us, Joe? Besides a hangover.
No. We'll be all right. Hey, Lions need to keep Bevel in order to keep Stafford. Stafford is not that bad of a quarterback, and I promise you, if you guys are on top of the hill looking downhill, Lions need to keep Stafford. Bottom line. He is the future, and whoever comes in next, I hope that it's Bevel, but Stafford needs to stay. He needs to be given an opportunity to lead his team to a championship, because I cannot watch him go to another team and win a Super Bowl. That will be the death of me.
That will be the death of a lot of people. Yeah.
It's going to happen.
I'm starting to fall away from the idea that Stafford's going to be gone next year.
Same.
Mostly because all these NFL people are coming out talking about how much they adore Stafford, how he's been given a bad rap. Steve Young just came out this past week and talked about how nobody would win in Stafford's shoes with this team the way that it's been built. He's never had any help outside of Calvin Johnson, you know, and it's just been a disaster for him. I think that most NFL people and anybody that we're going to bring in here probably feels similarly. And when you feel that way about a quarterback that you have, that's under contract, that's, you know, towards the end of his career, but definitely not done with his career, it's hard to throw that away, especially when you probably won't get as much value out of him as you would need to really rebuild the team. And especially if we're not picking top five, if we're picking 8 or 9 or 10, are we going to get a good quarterback this year?
No.
Is it worthwhile doing that when we have 11 holes on defense? You know, it's rough. I'm not sure.
I watched Zach Wilson play last night against San Diego State. Dude is not that good.
Yeah. No.
He got the win. But that defense on San Diego State is horrible. I am from San Diego, so unfortunately I had to watch it. Because my buddies that were over were doing the same thing. But Zach Wilson is not the answer. Last thought, Sandman, what do you think about keeping Bevel as head coach? Do you think that we can make it work?
I think if they interview him and they like him and he beats out other good candidates, I don't know if I would hate it. The team seems to be playing hard for the guy. He seems to be well-liked. He already understands this team. He's already been in the room with all these players. I think he knows what he thinks Matt Patricia did wrong and what he needs to fix. I think if you keep a guy like Bevel, you have a better shot at keeping guys like Combs and a few other guys like that.
Fraley,
yep. I mean, I don't, you know, Nelson, it's hard for me to say right now.
I got
to
say a big part of Nelson's success. I don't want to put Nelson's abilities on somebody else, but I'll just tell you a part of Nelson's success is Hank Fraley. For him to be able to step in so far down and without the reps and without really any playing time and kind of take that role in that right tackle position and do so well 2 weeks in a row now, there's a serious piece of coaching associated with that. Hey, Joe, we're going to go. We got another call coming, brother.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, brother. All right. Come on. There we go. Hey, caller, what's your name? How much have you had to drink so far?
I've had nothing to drink.
I'm sorry.
I am a Lions fan from 1954.
Holy moly.
Yes. I'm so happy to be on your show. Beautiful.
Well, thank you. I mean,
glad to have you.
I'm happy you're here. Someone from 1954. Do you remember the last championship?
Yes. Oh. Yes, I do.
What did it feel like?
It's good. I'll tell you. But I love Stafford. I'll tell you, if we get rid of Stafford, it'll be a bad thing. But we need to work on the line. Yeah. The defensive line, the offensive line, I'd fit the 6 picks we got between each of them. I don't know.
I'm feeling like the offensive line is, I don't want to say is good enough.
Yeah.
Because it never is good enough. But I feel like, and I'm just going to say that for right now, it's good enough. I really think we need some wide receivers, defensive line, and linebackers. And if we could get those things between free agency and the draft, I feel like this team could actually make a little bit of a run. I think we could see a playoff win after today against the best team in the NFC. We didn't play. We were in it. We've got some pieces here. We could do this, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, what's bad is I'm from Florida, Spring Hill, Florida. But the thing is, I'm from Greenville, Michigan, you know, and I watched the Lions, you know. But hey, I'll tell you, I'll still watch them the rest of the deal. But I like Bevel and I like Stafford.
Yeah. You're not alone.
And
tonight.
I thank you for letting me be on your show. I tell you.
No, I'm absolutely happy. I'm really happy to have you. And Spring Hill, you're not too very far away from where I am. We're probably 30 minutes away. Yeah.
Hell yeah. But no, I'm in Florida though.
Yeah. So am I.
Oh yeah.
Oh, are you? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
I moved here from California about 3 years ago, but yeah, we're not too down. We're talking about maybe trying to see, it depends on how the plague goes, but maybe see if we get some people together around the Super Bowl since it's down here. Would love, if we do something and things work out for the better, I will buy you a drink. I would love to have you come out with us.
Oh, thank you. But like I said, I hope I can. I did have a stroke. I will just tell you that.
Oh.
But hey, I'm a Lions fan, you know. Hey, don't matter.
No, and let's face it, they probably were a contributing factor somewhere along the line. Right?
Yeah.
All right, my man. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it.
You know, and he brings up a good point that, you know, with the defense, it's not just finding one guy at each level that we need. You know, we need to find a couple defensive linemen. We need to find a couple linebackers. But I 100% agree that, you know, it's really hard to win against Aaron Rodgers when you get zero pressure at all. When he can hop around back there for 5-6 seconds and wait for a guy to get open, which they're going to get open. You know, it's a rough go of it. But, you know, Griffin, Okwara, they've looked okay. But we really don't have any interior pass rush at all. And I'm sure that whoever comes in next is going to have to overhaul that position pretty heavily. That and wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, those are going to be big ones. All right. Let's see. We got another caller. Hey, caller, what's your name and how much have you had to drink so far?
Hey, this is Kenyon.
Kenyon!
I don't know, seven or eight, but I'm feeling pretty sober at this point, kind of sipping throughout the day, had a couple onion rings, you know.
Oh, the onion rings always
calmed it down a little bit.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. What do you got for us, Kenyon? And Kenyon's in the Slack chat. Let me, really quick, Kenyon. What do you think? Am I lying when I talk about how good the Slack chat is?
Oh, not at all, man. I am loving the Slack chat. I joined it right before the first game. And, I come from out of market, you know, grew up in Nebraska, moved to Kansas City. I'm the only Lions fan that I know. And it's just a blast to kind of get in a community that likes the Lions and is also football intelligent. So, it's a lot of fun.
All right, what do you got for us today? Other than the third quarter time of possession for the Packers being 13-39 and the Lions 121, what else is there?
You know, for the most part, I just got a couple things. For the one caller who called in saying that he was in the Army, I want to thank him for his service, but also say how unfair it is that Army-Navy game was played on land yet again. So I don't know what's going on there, but in terms of this week, you know, honestly, this is one of the very few losses I can remember to the Packers since I've been a fan that I'm okay with it. I can hang my head high on this loss. I feel like we fought to the end. We put up a good fight. I never felt like we gave up, you know. Even I thought it was stupid at halftime. The announcers on third down were like, yeah, just run it and run out the clock. And Bevel was like, no, fuck that. I'm throwing it deep. So definitely a change from the Patricia ball that we've been seeing. Mm-hmm. I thought Stafford played well, all things considered. You know, he took a couple sacks. Some of them were his fault. Some of them weren't. I don't think, you know, last week I thought Nelson was pretty good. This week I think he showed that he has a little bit to improve on still. But I totally agree. You know, give us a couple more pieces on defense. You know, maybe get us a bona fide safety and even just like one middle linebacker. And I think we could maybe turn it around a little bit. And maybe next year hit that wild card spot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's a real deal. I am, it's usually after the wins that we get super pumped up. And, it's not like that right now, right? We had the loss. We just lost to the Packers, to our bitter rivals and enemies. And I feel good about this team. I feel like they could actually do something. I don't know why.
Oh, absolutely.
What's wrong with me?
My only concern moving forward is how bad are Stafford's ribs after that hit. And everybody's talking about how that should have been flagged, but there was a holding that was half the distance to that goal goal on that play anyway. So like morally there should have been a flag there, but practically it doesn't really matter. But I don't feel like the refs really cost us the game on this one. I'll say that I thought Killebrew or whoever recovered it was in bounds on it, but I doubt Chase Daniel could have caught us a touchdown there in a minute and a half or whatever it was. Yep. So I don't think they cost this. It could have been a little bit better, but overall, I think we put up a pretty good performance. So I think at this point, if you're a head coach coming in, you got to look at Stafford. As long as he's healthy and wants to keep playing, which I honestly think personally that he's going to want to keep playing regardless, I got to think you want to roll with him as long as the health, you know, meets that standard. But
yep,
he's looking pretty good so far.
I just think that it's going to really come down to Kelly and what the new regime looks like. And I think that's why I think he's going to have a say in this whole process, whether he's part of the interview, whether he gets a vote, like a full vote in who they hire. He is going to be part of that. And I think that's the hook, because frankly, he has no reason. Why wouldn't, I mean, if you were him, you got what, $170 billion in your bank account, right? Just the interest alone is funding everything you do, including your private jets. Why play again? Right. And
yeah,
when you're a professional player, that field, the crowd, there's a draw to it. But for him also, I mean, it's all about competitiveness for him. He is, mm-hmm. he is just the ultimate competitor. And I feel like it's going to take him believing that he can compete with the team and the people around him for him to play. He may play as he's also the kind of guy who's a straight shooter. So he just may play his contract out. Right. But even if he doesn't, I mean, if he pulls, it doesn't, he's not losing much to leave early. He's got all his money up front, right? It now is the cheap years. He's giving away the years for cheap. So I just feel like he's got to be part of it. He's going to be part of the say here, which means I think Bevel has a toe in the water here in some capacity. I really do. I don't know if it's coach. I don't know if it's offensive coordinator. I don't know how it all plays out or works, but I think that's the case. Now, I'm going to just, because I'd like to present both sides. He had a say in keeping Jim Bob Cooter, right? He was the one that stood behind JBC as the guy, and we know how that turned out, and et cetera, and things of that nature.
Yep.
Yeah, I think in terms of whether or not he stays, you know, obviously none of us know just how good or bad he feels physically. The one thing that I keep coming back to him for myself is when Isaac Nada Haloti Nada. when he tweeted a couple years ago, like how it hurt to pick up his kids after a football game, yeah. Right? If Stafford's like that, I am fully on board with him hanging up the towel, throwing it in and calling it a day. But, you know, if he's still feeling good physically, I think he's the kind of guy who's going to want to keep playing. And he said multiple times, and I don't think he has shown any reason that I think he's being dishonest here, that he wants to do that in Detroit. Yeah. And honestly, I'm pretty sure that, you know, if they give him another shot at it, I think he's going to want to stay. And in terms of Bevel coming back, it's tough. You know, I like what I've seen from him as a play caller here these last couple of weeks, but from just going from an interim head coach back to an offensive coordinator, obviously there's going to be a little bit of a power struggle there with a head coach coming in, or at least a potential power struggle with the players and all that. So I understand if a new coach doesn't want that balance or situation, that's kind of a tough spot to be in. So I don't know, maybe I'm good keeping him or ditching him. I don't think he's going to be long-term the best choice of a head coach moving forward. I think he'd be fine, but probably no better than Caldwell. So I don't see the upside of keeping him, I suppose.
And that's really what the Fords or the Hemps and, you know, the Lions as a whole need to decide, is if Stafford is in your long-term plans, you need to get somebody in here that is going to get the most out of Stafford and is going to get it done quickly enough that, you know, it occurs during Stafford's tenure here. So if that's another 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is, they need to find the guy that they think can do that. And, you know, you hire a new head coach, you know, once again, it's kind of a crapshoot. Does he bring in a guy that's never been an offensive coordinator? Is he going to be over his head, or is he going to be the next, you know, big thing at offensive coordinator? Who knows? But that's why all this is kind of a crazy choice right now, because I don't think the Lions are in like a clear cut, like, oh, this is the guy we want, and whatever happens, we're going to be fine. They have to, there's a lot of outside things that are going to affect who they hire and why they hire them, including Stafford.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It sounds like Sheila and Rod have a big headache on their hands that can only be solved by going to dbd.detroitlionspodcast.com and getting that Delta 8 chill line.
Oh my God. Oh. You read my mind. I was getting right there to that, and boy, you took it. That's right. With that back pain, how is he going to do it? We're going to take up a collection. We're going to send some CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com over Matthew Stafford's way to keep him on the field for another 10 years at least. I'm certain of it. The Delta 8 stuff, I'm telling you guys, this is the stuff that makes you feel something. I'm just going to tell you a message I got. I'm not even kidding. This is a PM on Twitter. Hey, man, this Delta 1000 CBD is too much. LOL. I have a hard time waking up. Want it? It knocks my wife out, too. I told him take half a bit. He goes, no, I take four or nothing. It was a funny exchange, but no.
Four or bust.
That CBD, I'm telling you, is great stuff. It's the Delta 8 is the stuff that if you're looking for a little bit of a sensation, we'll say, that's the way to go, that chill line. If you're looking just for the anxiety, pain, or the insomnia, that's it, anxiety, pain, insomnia, or the insomnia fix, that's just get the normal stuff and you'll be good to go. I've been all about the gummies. They're good. The cream is awesome for spot pain for muscles. It works wonders. Also got a lot of great feedback on that. Good stuff. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. They do give us a little kickback. It's good stuff. You get an instruction book that tells you all about the different stuff. I mean, it's packaged wonderfully. It's a really class operation. I'm glad that they work with us so well. So check them out. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. There. I went a whole hour before I did any shilling. You guys got to give me a little bit of credit.
Very good.
I mean, I was the one who brought that up. So I think we got to give you lots of credit.
I'm just sitting here on my CBD forgetting to do my commercials. That's how good Delta 8 is. All right. Hey, brother, we're going to let you go. All right.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no worries, man. You're good.
All right. Thanks, dude. Be good. Oh, man. The only Lions fan in Kansas City. I believe it, too. All right, let's see.
What a hard place to be a Lions fan.
Yeah.
Especially right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got another one coming in. You guys are bringing the call. You're bringing the heat this week. All right, caller, what's your name? How much you had to drink?
Hey, guys. This is George from Australia, from Melbourne. So it's,
hey.
It's almost 1 o'clock here, so I haven't had anything to drink.
I'm sorry. I'll have one for you.
Me too.
So now, did you watch the
That's
game?
That's right. Just in between meetings.
Did you get to watch
Yeah,
the game?
I did. Okay. I did watch it in the background. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought they did pretty well. At least played with a bit of energy and just a lot different to the previous regime. It's at least there's effort out there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is we keep saying it, but I don't know. There's another way to put it. It was a fun game. I don't really remember so much what fun football is like. Mm-hmm. it's a kind of a long time ago since I've really had it. And I don't know if this is, false hope, false excitement, just a rebound bounce back relationship with Darrell Bevell, but it sure feels good. It sure feels good to see football. I've not been this happy in a loss in 100 years, much less some of the wins we've had. This has been good. This has been therapeutic.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you just think about some of those kind of line ball calls and, Marvin's catch not getting called or even the onside kick not getting called. If that was any other game, there'd be uproar right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's right there. God, Sam, you're so good with the backgrounds. you just kill it. Both toes right there. He's even got the landing skid marks like you get off a plane when the tires hit. Little smoke.
Yep, there's just as much evidence of him getting both feet in as Hines Ward in the Super Bowl.
Ooh.
And they gave that one away.
Yeah, yep.
But
so George, yeah. what's it like there right now? Like temperature wise?
Yeah, it's probably, well, I'm going to say 30 degrees. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit.
It's like 90.
I'm going to have to guess around 80, 90. Yeah, it's getting pretty high up there.
See, they even use upside down measurements down there.
So how do you guys,
I mean, now help me out here. Do you stand on the ceiling or do you build the houses upside down?
I think we build them upside down effectively.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm such an idiot. I really am sometimes. I get the dumbest stuff. Okay, George. Hey, thanks for calling, brother. We're gonna keep rolling here. We're getting a couple calls. They're trying to squeeze in, but really appreciate you calling, listening, and watching the Lions, man. It's always good to hear the guys. Guam, Australia, wherever you are. If you're not around here, it's pretty interesting to me. I'm really enthralled with you guys' story and what got you involved.
Yeah, and thanks to you guys. Like it's like the last caller said, it's really good to have intelligent Lions chat because there's not many supporters here, and the few we have, we've got a good little chat. But it's great to be able to hear you guys. So thanks for all your work.
I think he's talking. Oh,
thanks for calling in, man.
All right, thanks, George.
I really do think that if we had a poll for Lions fans. Like how much funner the last two games have been than the last, 28 games previously.
Right, right.
I think this is, and here's the thing: like they won the one game and it was exciting, and we've seen games like that before, and we lost this game, but somehow it feels different, and I don't know if it is that much different. I think it's more like just a weight off everybody's shoulders. And I think that, really does mean something to us fans.
Yep.
I think more people got touched in their fandom than they want to admit.
Oh, well, it's always hard once it happens, right? You don't want to,
It is always hard, Chris. Always.
I wasn't even going there. It's hard to tell your story. It's not your fault, fans. It's not your fault. You didn't ask for this. Let's see really quick. Kevin, Patricia neutered my quarterback and I'm sad. I'm angry today that it was not that he started a slide and that didn't get called when he got injured. At least give me some a yellow flag to feel like something came of that. That was just him straight getting injured with a BS shot. I was really frustrated with that. And I know he's a runner at that point, but he's still a quarterback, and when he slides, he's free. Let's see. We got a lot. Brandon, you're going crazy, man. I don't know which one. I remember Tanya being on the Lions when Ebron was the number one pick. Ebron still has more drops than he does. This is the one. How about that final special teams play with both kickers in the line trying to fool the Packers defense? Another wrinkle of Coombs trend, something nobody's ever seen. That was great. That was absolutely great. I love that. I will say also the flea flicker. I love a flea flicker. I love that we do it. Relatively often, not I won't say relatively often, but often more often than we ever had. That's I guess the one thing that what's his knuckles Patricia brought to the to the team. But that special teams play, both kickers, it was like what? Oh, this is interesting, right? And then when they called the timeout to say, hey, what's going on here? And he gave the guy who I didn't see who it was that kicked it. If it was Fox, but he kicked
it
and
Fox.
He wasn't even the guy that was going to kick the ball in the first place. Oh, it was great. Great deception. I love Coombs. I really, really do. And that's the one thing that I absolutely want, no matter who becomes the coach, I want this team to hang on to Hank Fraley and Braden Coombs, whatever it takes. Those guys are superstars and going to be superstars in this league. And you just want to hold on to them as long as you can. You absolutely do. All right. Do we have more, or do we feel like we've got it covered there, Sam? Man,
I was kind of hoping that we would get some Stafford news about what's going on with him, but I don't think we're gonna hear anything, or at least I haven't seen anything yet. So, I think we have to be hopeful that we get to see some more Stafford play. I hope this wasn't the last play of Stafford's Detroit career. I guess we'll find out later, but. Outside of that, I think we about covered it all.
Oh, you hurt me. You just touched me in my fandom when you said that. Holy cow, that wasn't his last play as a Lion. Don't do that. Don't do that, man. All right. Well, okay. With that, we'll call it a show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And really, thank you all for listening to the show. I really appreciate all you folks and the kind words along the way. It really does mean a lot and helps keep us cranked up and happy doing this. But you folks are the absolute best listening to us and spending time and interacting. It's a ton of fun. And without you guys, it'd just be a sad day of us talking to ourselves in the basement. Yet here we are having fun with all of you guys. So, all right. Remember, the show needs your involvement. And we mean it, not just the phone calls and not just all the great stuff that you guys keep doing, but We want your comments in the subreddit. Give us the feedback. What do you like about the show? What don't you like? Help us make it the best show it can possibly be. It's your show, too. This is a community show. You own this, so take ownership and do something about it. Don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Don't forget, as little as $1 a month donation there will get you access to the Slack chat, the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. It is a great, great place to hang out. And George, as little as an Australian dollar will get you access. Just think about that. It's a heck of a way to go. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Oh, check us out on Amazon, amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. It's that holiday season. Oh, shoot. It didn't do it. It goes like this.
It's the holiday season and my balls need squeezing.
That's the signal to talk about amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. That and the big sign behind Sandman on the video. Oh man, you still have time. Head on over to amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com to get all your Amazon goods and services. And don't forget about your Lions gear and any other sports gear. fanatics.detroitlionspodcast.com. All right. Follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast. It's the very best place to see Sandman
with no pants on.
All right. Jesse, I get 5 stars when the mustache goes bye-bye, you know?
Just shave half of it, Chris. We'll get 2.5. That's good enough. 2.5 stars is pretty good.
It was a Movember thing, and I don't know. It bothers my wife so much that I keep it. it's the whole story. That's the whole story. I don't even.
All men understand that.
I don't even.
Sometimes
really like
you just gotta bother the wife.
It's kind of fun. All right, call us on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all word, or on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. And go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can pop it in your ears automatically. Where else would you want it? Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, baby, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.